long weekend. I can see the school holidays and the long weekend is still making its mark, but it's nevertheless awesome to be here with you guys. And I'm just going to say it for the last time. I hope you guys will attend next week when Pastor Fred and Sias is here. It's always nice when we're having visiting pastors. So please remember the date or save the date as I said just now. And I first want to start off by repenting. You know, this was really a busy week for me and the wife and the kids and everything. But between all of that, I even did a bit of painting. And I think this morning you can see when I went and stopped at one of the robots, I was scratching here and I felt, oops, there's still paint left. So I'm a painting pastor as well. Not pictures, but walls. So yeah, if there's a bit of paint, please have a bit of grace for me this morning. News from home, Maritza and the kids are really doing well. I'm doing well as well. And it's really a challenge for us at this time. You know, there's lots of, or even maybe not all of the parents with their small babies are here this morning. But those of you who've gone through this phase in your life will know. I shared with one of two people this morning. Thanks. Thank you. And, you know, my mind is a bit, I don't know what. But, you know, I always knew mathematics doesn't make 100% sense. And, you know, 1 plus 1 with kids isn't 2, it's 4. And 1 plus 1 plus 1 isn't 3, it's 6. Because, you know, it just exponentially gets more challenging every morning, you know, because some have to breastfeed and some have to, you know, have nappies changed and other one to eat and a slipper, this and that. And there's really a lot of things, but we are really progressing in our learning curve at home. We're really enjoying the kids. Maritza is really well. She's strong and on her feet. I know some of you already went and visited. And I can really say that our small little daughter is just what we prayed for and trusted. She only, you know, she only drinks twice a night, which is awesome, and it's only one to feed, so that's awesome as well. I'm not involved this round. Not that I fed the previous one, but I also assisted in a sense. But yeah, it's really a blessing for us, and we really enjoyed the little one. And you know, in a sense, I can already see that a little girl is so much different from boys. You know, when we put her in a certain position in the bed, you know, the next, you know, when she wakes up again, she's still laying in that position. She's not like the boys, they are always, you know, messing up everything and turning around and making noises and stuff, but she's just sleeping there like a little princess, and that's awesome, you know. And then I want to welcome, maybe for Bertie, it's a welcome, and for Yolandi, it's a welcome back. Yolandi is from Namibia, and Bertie is now almost from Namibia. I met him while I did the MTP in South Africa. I ministered in Malmesbury one morning, and then I met them, and they said, but in a few weeks' time, they are moving to Namibia. So welcome to you guys. Welcome to sunny Namibia. I know it's raining and cold the last month or what in Cape Town. So welcome to the Windhoek, and I really trust that you guys will feel at home here with us. Then, May is a wonderful month for our family. We've got a lot of people. It's whose birthdays it is. A lot of our family members have, you know, their birthdays in May, and then now we've got our little daughter as well. And this morning, my wife is not here this morning, and I actually discovered this morning that next week it's going to be our wedding anniversary as well. So I put a reminder on my phone like a good husband, because I know it's, especially in a week or two like this, very easy to forget something like that. So I've got the reminder, so if my cell phone doesn't drop me, then I'll be safe this week. And we're not married that long, just 1 or 2 years more than kids we have. So we had a good run thus far, blessed time. And what else did I want to say from before we really, really start? Oh, and then obviously, actually, I was on leave this week, but that was really a blessing. I enjoyed it so much at home with my wife and kids and a bit of painting and playing with the dogs and everything, that I almost thought of maybe becoming a house father, or I don't know what we'll call it. But it was really nice to be all the time at home with my family. I really enjoyed it. And but the challenge was being on leave. But unfortunately, we couldn't. One of the guys that preach here, all of them, Francois overseas, and Paul is away, and Aaron is away, and everyone. Not that I'm saying that you guys can't do it, but we only have a small group of guys. So I have to be here this morning, but I also want to be here. Don't worry. But it was a. So I didn't prepare the deepest theology this morning, but it's interesting, you know, how God just worked. The whole week I was actually postponing and say, God, you know, I have to be in the pulpit Sunday. What I'm going to say, I'm not going to read a book or watch a DVD or do something easy way out. And then eventually I knew God would lay something on my heart. And in a sense, it really, for me personally, the season or the week that passed, you know, all things just came together wonderfully, and the sermon is here this morning, so that's great. Let's pray. Father God, we want to come this morning to you, Father, as we worship, Lord God. We just want to continue worshiping you this morning, Father God, and give all honor and glory to you, Lord God. And just, yeah, Lord God, make your name big, Father God. And as we become quiet here and we're going to sit here this morning, Father, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will really minister to all of us, Father. I know that you want to speak to each and every one of us, Father God. And I just pray, Father God, that all the things of the week that's passed or the weeks that coming, Lord, that we can put those things aside right now, Father God, that we can really focus on you, Father God, and as we are going to worship afterwards, Father God, that we can really tabernacle with you, Lord God, that we can really speak in our hearts, from our hearts with you, and share hearts with you, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord, that we can all be together here this morning, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now it's interesting, it just came to my mind when I was actually looking for a title of my sermon last night. And then it came to my mind, you know, I played with a few different ideas and themes and things in my heart. And I think I ended off with giving it a name like Stop and Smell the Flowers. And that's really one of those titles that sounds very nice and everything. And then I reminded, I was in my heart, I remembered a while ago now, I don't know how many of you know Franz Ezer. He's also from our Stellenbosch congregation. He's the guy in charge with the media team, but he also ministers, and he's actually on his way in July to go and pastor one of the churches in London. Now Franz, for those of you who are familiar with the DISC test, he's a D++. He's one of those very driven people. He can't sit still, he's always on the move. And I remember a while ago, he ministered on something, one of those really difficult theological concepts. And then he said to the people, but I don't know, you know, I'm going to put it if I'm Franz speaking. And he said, I don't know why I can never preach one of those lilies of the field type of sermons, those stop and smell the flowers type of things. I always get these difficult topics. Now, this morning I'm fortunate, I think I got a stop and smell the flowers. I hope you can enjoy the stop and smell the flowers with me. It's something that's been part of my life for all my life, in a sense. You know, I think God make all of us different. But for me, actually, while I was preparing the sermon, I really enjoyed it so much, because it's something I know that's important for all of us, and something on God's heart for all of us as well. Now, it's really important for all of us to be connected to God all the time, you know. And I feel in my heart, maybe it's a word for someone here this morning, that, you know, sometimes, a lot of times, life gives us different challenges, and then we need answers. We need answers for our questions, you know. And then sometimes we speak to our friends, our family, our fathers, spiritual fathers, and they are of great help, definitely. But, you know, we should go to God and ask Him that same question, and ask Him to give us peace about a decision we should make, or maybe if we shouldn't make it. You know, God will, He will tell us. So it's important that we are connected to God for us to get an answer to our questions. Now, that we can go to God directly. And it's also important that all of us, in our heart, in our spirits, that we can hear God's voice, so that we can obey God better. You know, we will be more obedient to Him and His will for us, which is good, if we can discern His voice, than if we can't. Now, it's important, obviously, that we and God know each other. Now, all of you know from Scripture that God knows about every hair in our heads. He knows everything in our hearts, everything. So it's God knows us perfectly, everything about us, before we were even born, everything, you know. But from our side, we need to get to know God better. And, you know, as we start our spiritual walk with God, when we are born again or when our lives, then we start to grow and we start to discover things from God's heart. And, you know, I was, you know, I think 2 weeks ago, I spoke about Scripture saying, you know, God is slow to anger and full of mercy. You know, and this week, being a bit challenged with sleep and 3 kids around, I caught myself once or twice that I had to tell myself, now, be slow to anger, you know. Don't, like, you know, burst, because when you're tired and things go rough and the guys bite each other at home and stuff like that, then sometimes you just want to be angry and sort out everything in a bit of a robust way, which isn't correct. So I was speaking to myself, and this morning I'm speaking to myself again. I want to read the scripture to you from Matthew 18, verse 3 to 4. And said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God." Now, I just want to say one thing about that, and that is, it says we must humble ourselves. You know, when we are full of pride, when we are full of arrogance, when we are fighting with God, we're fighting with the world, with each other, you know, then many times we'll miss God's heart. You know, when we are full of anger or pride or things like that, as I said, many times we will miss God in a sense, or we will miss to get to know Him. You know, if me and my wife fight a lot, we don't know what's really on each other's hearts, because if there's a lot of shouting in the house, you know, then you don't spend that good time and you can't talk or share with each other the way it's supposed to be. Now, the important thing is, a lot of time we aren't on the wavelength that God is, so we miss Him in a sense. But how do we get to tune in better to God? That is to get to know God's heart better. You know, to know what is on God's heart. Now, I want to read you from Isaiah 1, verse 3. "And the ox know its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider..." Let's repeat that last part. "My people do not consider..." Now, it's Isaiah writing here, and he's writing in that Hebrew poetic type of language, where they use a lot of parallelisms to describe certain things. I just want to... that word consider, I went and looked it up, and it said, to consider is to ponder, reflect, contemplate, meditate, study, or to weigh up. Now, the scripture is talking about, is using that parallelism where it says, the ox knows its owner, and the donkey is master's crib. But Israel, my people, doesn't consider. And in the context of that few scriptures, you can see that the people of Israel is disobedient again. They're not close to God because they don't consider God. And if we went and look at the dictionary's explanation of the word consider, you know, to ponder or to reflect. And now I'm getting into the direction of what I've got on my heart this morning for all of us. You know, do we consider God? Do we go and really sit a lot of times and think about God? So many times we rush and we grab our Bible and we read a few of scriptures, and then sometimes we want a word from God, or we want to answer, and then things doesn't work out. Paul preached last week on worship, you know, and many times you want to worship quickly and now you want a quick response or enter into God's presence, because we live in a McDonald's age and we want things quick, and a quick remote control and a microwave, quick lunch or supper or something. But sometimes, you know, or a lot of times actually, I believe, we should really go and sit somewhere where it's quiet and peaceful, and we should go and really, maybe you can take your Bible with you. Sometimes you can just leave it for a while. Just speak to God. Just consider, you know. Now, I wish I was sitting early this morning, and while I was finishing off everything, I was sitting there, and I wish I could, for every one of us, for all of us, you know, just buy time. Because so many times we're so busy. You know, I've got a bad habit these days. When I was young, my father confirmed it the other day, I was always on time, you know. But something happened the last few years. These days I'm slightly late all the time. You know, because I caught myself, I always just want to do, maybe let's use example while I was painting. You know, we were supposed to go to my father's house, watch the rugby, eat something together. But now I'm still painting until 99 and trying to force in as much as possible. And then obviously at the end of, we're late, I'm late. You know, I caught myself, okay, obviously I've got a wife and three kids, which make it a bit more challenging now. But, you know, sometimes I just want to first read something extra or do something more. And then I end off being late. You know, now I wish all of us in our day and age that we live in, that we could have more time. You know, we want to do Bible school, we've got jobs, we've got families, we've got girlfriends and boyfriends or engaged ones or things like that. And everything is taking a bit of our time. You know, and John Piper is speaking in one of his articles, you can really read it, you can go and search it on the internet, about television as the great life waster. Now, that's so true. You know, there's so many things in life that really can steal our time. I think I've used the example that me and Maritza didn't have this first 9 months of after we got married, we didn't have a television, and it actually was a blessing, you know. And I remember after we got one, because I wanted to watch rugby, one of her friends came in and she said, oh, now she's so disappointed because we were like idols for her, not having a television, being just married, and that was great. Now, don't make conclusions now because of television and having it not and a lot of kids and those type of things. Okay, John Piper wrote another thing, and I want to read it to you. He said, we have become almost incapable of handling any great truth, reverently and deeply. Magnificent things, especially the glory of God, rest with weightlessness even on the church. The glory of God. You know, now that's something John Piper is really, I've got a lot of respect for him. When he says something like that, we can talk about it a bit. And I believe, you know, so many times we are into so many, if you look at all the sci-fi movies, which I don't look at, but I know, you know, there's so many things that are so wonderful today, cars or technology, and sometimes we get so caught up in that, in cell phone technology or whatever it is, that we forget in a sense about things like the glory of God. And while I was preparing, I really enjoyed it because I remembered so many things back in my life that was like small memorials in my life, which I remembered so dearly, and I want to share a few of them with you this morning. But before that, I want to read from Psalm 8, verse 3 to 9. Now, this is King David writing here, and I know he was a man that really knew God. He spent a lot of time worshiping God, and you know, all of us know that God said David, King David was a man after his own heart. Now, it reads as follows. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visited him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all the things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And just as that first little part again. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. Now, we know that we are the pinnacle of God's creation, you know. And King David is speaking here and he says, when I consider the heavens, everything, and I'll read one or two scriptures just now confirming that. You know, when we just, and that's where the stop and smell the flowers come from, you know. It's a bit of a cliche in a sense. But, you know, when we, I remember a few things, you know. In our house, in Stellenbosch where I grew up, we lived in the most upper part of the town next to the Stellenbosch mountain, and next to the road was the old proof farm of the experimental farm of the Stellenbosch University. So from being a small boy, I always loved nature, and I can't live without nature. I'll die in one of those mega cities in the United States where it's just, you know, building after building and things like that. I'll die. I think, you know, some of you might like it. I know Maggie's sitting there and she's got aspirations maybe going there or anything. But I don't. I really believe we live in the most beautiful part of the whole world. Namibia is truly beautiful. From the dry southern part to the Caprivi where we've got so much water, the east, you know, the east, the Kalahari, all those parts, the west. It's so beautiful and we should consider it more. It's really, having been blessed with such a beautiful part of nature, you know, we can go to Itosha Pants and all those beautiful places. We are really privileged, and I believe we should really enjoy it a lot more. Now, back to Stellenbosch where I grew up, I remember since being a small boy, I always wanted to become a farmer. That was the thing I thought I'll do best, and I just wanted to live on a farm and things like that. And I always went, and then I climbed over the fence, and then I just went and walked there. Sometimes they planted maize, there were sheep and cattle and a lot of different things, and I just walked there. And I remember even when I was a small boy, you know, I remember that always when I walked there, especially when I went to high school, you know, I always prayed. I asked God for certain things, I prayed for certain things, I thanked God for certain things, because it was quite high. You had a view over the whole town of Stellenbosch, and it's quite a beautiful place. Not as beautiful as here we have in Windhoek, but it's quite beautiful. Some people think it's very beautiful there, but I think the vineyards and things are really overrated. That's just me maybe. But the thing is, you know, when I had that view, and I can really look over the town, you know, I really loved it. to be there and just to pray. You know, just to speak to God. And to just look at all the attributes, all the mountains, the things that God created. I really enjoy that. A few weeks ago, I spoke about us as an MTP group that went to that place called Coolboy, and where we had to get those prophetic words for every day for the course that we were doing. And you know, I remember this morning, while I was sitting there that morning, close to the sea, and you know, just enjoying everything that God created. Because so many times we walk into a place and we open our Bible and we think we use that old thing that you read a bit and you pray a bit and you worship a bit and then everything's great. But you know, I really enjoyed it so much sitting there that morning and just speaking to God and allowing Him to speak into my heart and trusting Him for what He needs to provide for me that morning. Now, you know, sometimes I want to call it like elephant and lion disease or something like that. Because many times you get those guys, they drive to a place like Etosha, and now they want to see the big five. You know, they want to see all the really impressive things. But you know, they actually say that the bird watchers, you know, the guys that are really interested in watching the birds, they see the most animals in a national park like that because they are trained to look a bit more specifically at the smaller things, you know. And sometimes you hear people coming from a place like that and they say, oh, it wasn't that great because we didn't see a leopard or a this or that or what, you know. But there's so many other beautiful things. There's so many other small animals or birds or plants or things that you can look at that can also bless you, you know. And God created all of them. And I remember that morning while we were sitting there at the sea and just all the different things of nature just spoke into my heart. You know, it was so precious. And I also remember when I was a student. Now, I had a few tough times as a student as well. I've earlier said mathematics doesn't make sense, and I still believe it doesn't because I had a bad time in my first year with mathematics. And you know, at times like that, I really went, and there's a place called in Stellenbosch, it's the J.S. Marais Park. And you know, it's in the center of town, it's like a few hectares, maybe five or something. And there's a lot of wild, small bookies and birds and plants and things. And I went to walk there, and that was just my place. You know, almost in the storm, where I just went and prayed and spoke to God, and there's this big, huge tortoises and the little water hole and things. And I just sat there. I remember so many times that I was really in a tough place for various reasons. And then I just went there and I just spoke to God, you know, and I just looked at all the mountains and I prayed. And, you know, I always left there with peace in my heart because I knew, just like I saw last week when Maritza was in there in the theater, you know, and I was standing there with the camera and taking photos for the family to see afterwards. And I knew I was standing there, and I could do nothing because those doctors and nurses and all those trained people, they were doing that cesarean. And I was standing there, and I was, you know, in a sense, my heart was very small because it's a special moment always when you stand there and you know your wife is really, they're opening her up and the baby's coming out. And I think Dr. Pang and I will confirm this. It's, for me, it seems that there's a million things that can go wrong at that stage, either with your wife or the small thing, or the little baby. You know, I was speaking too much about small things now. And, you know, standing there, I just had that feeling in my heart that, you know, I can just trust in God. I can't take the doctor's hand. I can make nothing work. If that little baby comes out, or how long it takes, or whatever, anything, you know. I can't do nothing. I can just pray. I can just trust God. And, you know, now a week later, Maritza's at home, baby's at home, everyone is fine and well. And it's just a miracle, you know. Maybe, you know, yeah, I think that's what the dad wants to talk about a week after the birth of a little daughter. But just standing there and enjoying that and knowing that God is in control. I was just trusting God. You see, and as I remember, and then the other thing that I remember so well, it's like, as I said, like a memorial in my life, you know, is my uncle's farm, my father's brother, we always went to on June holidays here close to Arnos in Lunardville. You should go and visit. I really believe that's the most beautiful parts of Namibia. But I don't know how many of you guys were in that region before. I know Saunders is from there. Only a few of you guys. Okay, but you know, as a small boy, a typical boy, I always loved hunting, you know, and I went always to hunt dassies. Now, I don't know what that's in English. Is there an English name for a dassie? I don't think so. But it's a small little animal that lives in the rocks. And, you know, but I want to explain this picture to you because for me, it's significant, you know. You get this in that part of the area, you get this red dunes, and then you get what they call a street with all the savanna and the camel thorn trees and stuff. And then they've got what they call the Nosop River. It's a dry river running from north to south there. And at the top parts of the river, you get kalke. I also can't translate that. But the thing is, it's quite high there. And I always, whether I was successful or not with the hunt, I always went there and I just sat there because you had this almost, I don't know how many degrees view you have. It's like a wide, wide angle lens could maybe capture it. But it's this amazing view that you have over nature. And I remember so many times as a boy sitting there and in a sense almost just dreaming, but also many times just praying, you know. And at that stage in my life, spiritually, I was still young, you know. But just sitting there, and I think the point that I want to make this morning is that nature really spoke to me, you know. God's hands made that, you know, and that's special. And always when I went there to places like that, the examples that I've known, talked about, you know, that's places where I always found God, you know, because I could see God's hand in there. I want to read you from Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And you see, there we can see that Scripture is actually saying that for since the creation of the world, these invisible attributes are clearly seen. Now, I really believe that when we go to nature, when you go like places like that, you don't always have to go. And God will speak to you in your car or in your study or in your office as well. If you're driving anywhere, that's fine. But if you go to a place like that, you know, so many times seeing God's attributes and just acknowledging God made that, you know, that's special to me. We live in Africa. We're so privileged to have all of this nature. We're so little people versus so much nature. Yeah? And I really believe we should enjoy it. It's a blessing that God gave to us. Because some parts of the world you can drive for miles and you will not see wildlife. We can see it all over in Windhoek. When you drive, you'll see a small meerkatjie of a ding wat oor die pad hardloop. You see, we're really privileged. And I remember one day while I was a student, one of my subjects was climatology or meteorology. Now, that's like all the things about the weather. And I remember one of the professors today said to us that we should all close our eyes and, you know, close our eyes and lie in your arms. And then we should point into the direction from which the wind is blowing. Now, that was a crazy thing. I cheated a bit and have a look at what everyone is pointing, because a lot of people don't notice the things in nature going around them. And everyone was pointing in a different direction because a lot of people hadn't had a clue where the wind came from, because the wind was blowing and no one noticed it. You know, now I know there's not a lot of farmers sitting in the church or people that really grew up on a farm in church this morning. But you know, I've noticed a few things from farmers. They always count things. You know, if there's assholes flying or sheep at the crib or something, or small little animals, they always count it. You know, farmers, they will always be able to tell you the first week in May, the frost come, and maybe afterward, a bit of rain or something. You know, they always know things like that because they notice it. They give their attention to the things God made, like the wind and the rain and stuff. Because sometimes we sit in our offices, and you know, when you walk in there 8 o'clock and you leave at 1 o'clock for lunch, the weather could have changed and you wouldn't even notice it. But guys being more outside, like farmers, you know, they will notice everything. They will see that the grass this year grew differently because it rained differently. So a lot of people don't notice things. And maybe this morning you'll think, but I'm just talking a lot of nonsense. This is not very biblical or anything like that. But I'm trying something from a heart's point of view to share with you this morning. And I really believe that we should get away from that spiritually as well, that elephant lion syndrome, where we just want to see the big and the impressive things. You know, there's so many small things happening, you know. Just referring back to the kids as well, all of you, and there's a lot of you with small kids, you know, you'll know every little fingernail, every little something from a small baby, it's just beautiful. Every parent loves it, you know, and it's just special. And you know, that's the way that God feels about us, whether we are small or whether we are grown-ups, you know, and that we should really get to a place of smelling the flowers, you know, just going, because sometimes we battle so much about getting to God. And most people always have a challenge about hearing God's voice, or, Pastor, I need to make a decision, should I go left or right? You know, but those answers are there for all of us. You know, I don't have a hotline, if I can call it, to God and just say, God, Etienne's got a problem, left or right, you know. All of us have the ability to go to our Father God, whose thoughts are good towards us, and to go and get that solution from Him, you know. And I'm just saying this morning that sometimes when we're really on that place, that we should just go to nature, as that scripture says, you know, Proverbs 6 verse 6, and there's many other. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. We can learn a lot from nature, scripture says. You know, if you go and look at the animals, scripture speaks a lot about the things of the field and so forth. You know, every little, sparrow or everything, God looks after that, and so much more you will look to after us every morning. Okay, now there's a song, and every time when I listen to that song, you know, two things happen to me. I just get this really, really peace in my heart, and the other thing is, in a sense, I just feel almost emotional because it's so beautiful. And I just want to read to you, it's a song by Phil Wickham, and it's called Beautiful. Some of you might know it. I remember we sang it a few weeks ago in church. And I just want to read the first two verses before you. Now, the reason is, the things I'm talking about this morning, I think he actually wrote, because it says Word and Music by Phil Wickham. You know, that man couldn't just sit in his office and write the song. He needed to be outside sometimes, because just listen to it, and it goes as follow. I see your face in every sunrise. The colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful. I see your power in every moonlit night, when planets are in motion and galaxies are bright. We are amazed in the light of the stars. It's all proclaiming who you are. You are beautiful. Now that's the crux of my sermon this morning, you know. This guy is writing here about the moon and the stars, all the galaxies and everything out there, and he says it's all proclaiming who you are. You are beautiful. You are God. You are glorious. And that's why I said, I read that quote from John Piper, where he said, you know, television and all the special effects of this world can so easily quench our believing in God, you know. I almost want to say, watching too much Discovery Channel or National Geographic or whatever, too much of that can almost get you to a place where you can't look to the stars or the moonlit nights or the galaxies and proclaim, God, you are beautiful, you are glorious. You know, and I believe especially a big part of the Western world has gotten to this place where they say, but yeah, well, we all evolved and that whole story and stuff. I'm not going to go into that. But this song, it really ministered to my heart. And if we've got it at the office, I don't know if I'm not sure how the copyright things work, but you can come and listen it or maybe get the words or something. But if you just listen to that music, I just feel something of God's presence there. And it's just a blessing to me. When I was sitting there and listening to it this morning, I just had this feeling of God is there, God is in the room. It's really awesome, you know. And I want to encourage you guys in this week or the times when the storm comes and stuff to just go outside and smell the flowers, you know. Because when you are standing in a place like me a week ago in that theater and knowing that if something goes wrong now, I can do nothing except pray, you know. And to just know that our lives are in God's hands and He's so much bigger than us. One last of those memorial things, I always remember when we left my uncle's farm, it was always, when we drove back to South Africa, it was always early morning, say 3 o'clock or something like that, because it was really a long drive. And especially when when I was small, we always slept as children. But as I got a bit bigger, you know, the house was almost in the lowest part of the river, and then you drive this road up until the first red dune, go over it, and then you're on the road again, the big road. And you know, it was this little house with a light or two at that time of night, And you can just see all these amazing stars, because in a place like Namibia, especially when you just drive a bit outside Windhoek, you can see everything that Louis Giglio is talking about. You know, most of you know Louis Giglio and his beautiful DVDs, but we can experience those things for ourselves, you know. And always I got this feeling, because you see this whole huge valley lying there at night. And then, in a sense, I always felt so small. And then driving out, and then you'll see a steenbokkie or an owl or something sitting in the road. And you know, when I left, I always had this almost a sadness in my heart. First, because I left my family there. And the other thing is, I had so much special, I don't know what a word is, but the farm was so beautiful, you know. Enjoying that part of nature, going back to town, it was almost something bad for me. You know, and just driving there and seeing that whole valley and stuff. So sometimes I think we need to climb a mountain and just go and sit there and speak to God. Not always seeking an answer, but just sitting there and allowing God to speak into our hearts. You know, that's what I truly believe. And we are so fortunate to live in a beautiful place like Namibia. Then lastly, I just want to read to you from Hebrews 4, verse 9 to 11. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. So this morning, guys, I want to ask you guys to somewhere, sometime in the week, over a weekend, when you've got time, maybe Tuesday is a public holiday. I know a lot of our friends are away. But to go somewhere and just from our busy schedules, from trying to finish this at home and doing that, just make some time and go to a green place in Windhoek, in our city, and just go and sit there and maybe for a moment just look at the small birds or the ants or something and allow God to speak to our hearts and just worship God, because He's the creator of everything you see. You know, and that's something that's really so special to me. So I really hope that we'll get a few testimonies from this, and that you guys will really go this week and make some time to stop and smell the flowers, you know, to really just go and enjoy God's presence. Maybe if you can play an instrument, take it with, take your Bible with, maybe a scripture will jump up in your heart, you can read it, and you can just honor God for who He's are. And that we shouldn't say of ourselves that we are at a place where God's glory is weightlessness, where it doesn't mean anything to us, that we can really treasure it and drink it in and enjoy it. So I'm going to ask the worship team, now to come up. We are going to sing two or three songs more. And I want to really ask you this morning, you know, we are sitting here, we've got so much to be thankful for, all of us, you know. You know that little story of the guy moaning about his shoes until he saw the other person without feet. You know, we've got so much to be thankful of. And as we are going to worship now, I really trust you guys that you will worship God. You know, that we should speak to God from our hearts, that we should thank Him for everything that we do have. And that in your heart, as you are standing here, in a sense, that you will maybe just smell the flowers, you know, that we will just worship God for the big King and Creator that He is for us. And afterwards, maybe you can all stand now with me. And I want to ask you guys, if there's any one of you during the worship or after the worship, and you feel that there's something that you really, that you need to speak to God about something, you need to pray to God about something, there will be facilitators here in the front with me. You can just come to the front. We want to pray with you, but sometimes, you know, sometimes you need to pray something yourself, and then we will just agree with you on that prayer. So if there's anyone afterwards, you need any type of prayer, I want to invite you to really come to the front, and then we would like to pray with you.